Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Now on UK Health Radio, treat yourself to an upgrade. Pack away your low self-esteem. Leave behind that empty feeling. Stow your fears and doubts in the overhead locker. And go from stress to authentic success with Danielle Sachs.
Welcome to another show, another week. I'm your host, Danielle Sachs, and today I'm going to talk with you about joy. Now, that might seem like a general subject, but joy is something that you and I, we can all use more of in our lives. It's a basic energy. And I am going to talk, I think it's, we can call her maybe the queen of joy, Lisa McCourt, because she has taught joy in all its many flavors for over two decades now to thousands of learners. And she's the founder of Joy School. And Lisa has spent over 40 books, I can't believe it, for adults and children, in addition to collaborating with amazing leaders like Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen. So combined, Lisa's books have sold over 9 million copies, can you believe it, and earned over 9,000 glowing Amazon reviews. Now, I know that Lisa, when I see even just her photograph that she sent me, she is glowing. She is radiating joy. She's a podcaster as well, former popular CBS radio host and joyful singer in Michael Beckwith's Agape Choir. Now, she brings her passion and unique blend of skill sets to an eclectic career path that is ever mysteriously unfolding just the way she likes it. Her new book is called Free Your Joy, and I can't wait to talk to Lisa McCourt about the 12 keys to sustainable happiness. Now, as I say, what is joy to you? Do you feel joyful in your life? Do you daily feel joyful in your life? I think it's going to be an interesting conversation about something as basic as joy, but something that we all want in our lives more of. So after this little break, I'm going to talk to Lisa McCourt. And just before, I just want to let you know that if you want to follow me on Instagram, Danielle_Sachs_, please do so, because there's a lot every single week I come with, but almost every day, with quotes, with tips, with strategies that can inspire and motivate you to live authentic success, to experience more joy. So really looking forward to this conversation after this little break with Lisa McCourt. Talk to you just now.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, and I am so, so pleased to give you this amazing conversation, because I know in advance that this is going to be all about joy and soul connection and all these things, because I have this beautiful lady here. Welcome, Lisa McCourt.
Oh, Daniel, thank you so much. I've been looking forward to chatting with you.
Yes, me too, I have to say, because I haven't had often a guest who wants to talk about joy. I think it's a subject that maybe we find it so common that we don't talk about it. Maybe it's just something that we don't often enough talk about it. Can you just tell us what journey did you have that joy has become your mission and your passion?
Yeah, thank you. I think it's true that if you ask people, would you like more joy? Really, no matter where people feel they are with it, the answer would be yes, I'd like more joy. But I think the disconnect is that most people do not believe that it's really within their control. We think it's all these chances out here. So would you like to learn how to have more joy? That's like, well, that's not a thing. I just have to think that happen or that happen or that happen. Then I get to have joy, right? We have the equation completely backwards. We think that when we have all these boxes checked, when we've got the money just right or the job just right or the partner just right or the home, then we get to have joy. So what I've learned in my journey and what I teach in my joy school is that that equation is backwards. We have to learn the skill of having joy and peace and bliss and compassion for self and others. And when that's locked in, when we can get it as an internal state, we're sending out an entirely different vibratory frequency that's going to go out there. And all those external things that we think we want are just going to start effortlessly falling into place, really. But we don't care as much because we already have the joy.
But so, Lisa, can you tell us if there was a breakdown or crisis in your life to actually discover that joy inside?
Yeah, I interview a lot of spiritual teachers and I love the ones who have like that one day or that one thing. Mm. I think for a lot of us, it's increments. I call it, I look back and I just have had this series of mini awakenings throughout my life. A lot of it has been through teachers, through books, but I was not a joyful person. I was a person who had to keep it on smile 100% because that was my survival MO when I was, you know, I wasn't raised in conditions that would be optimal for positioning someone to go be joyful, as is the case for very, very, very many of us, really. Yes. And so I knew how to look the part because I wanted to be pleasing to the world at large, but there was no real authentic joy inside. I know you talk a lot about authenticity, and there was no authenticity in my life. So it was really a series of mini awakenings through teachers and other books and studies. And that's why my joy school and my book, they're both just filled with other resources with my teachers. I consider myself a curator of this material. I'm a bridge. I'm going to collect it all up for you. I'm going to make it as accessible as I can, because once my life turned around completely, I just wanted to be on the team that's out there delivering this information, this complete life-saving, mind-blowing information. I just give me any position on that team where I can try to help make a difference.
And so what has been your biggest stress in your life? Can you just point it out?
Stress to me, it's very, very clear, or it became clear as I studied these principles, that stress is just the direct result of wanting to control what's out there.
Interesting.
Control what's out there. So yes, I used to think that everything had to look just so, and I had to have the right degrees and certifications and the training, and I had to look right in my body and wear the right clothing, and anything that was off place, anything that wasn't exactly as I thought it needed to be, would cause me a lot of stress and anxiety. Okay. If I couldn't, you know, be just the perfectionist checking all the boxes just right. So little by little, relaxing into the joy of not trying to control, the joy of surrender to what is. But to me, just let all of the stress just drain right out of my existence as I perfected those skills.
I read a little piece of your book already, and it was so amazing because I talk a lot about birthright, Lisa, in my work. It is our birthright. The I am is enough to be, are enough, you know, is enough to have joy, to deserve whatever there is in the world of abundance, etc. So how, because you're talking about joy is your birthright as well. Just give us a little bit of explanation around that.
Yeah, it's one of the foundational pieces to the work that I do is that we are joy. We are love. We are bliss. That's what our soul is. That's where we come from. That's where we're going to return. That's what makes us alive in this meat suit that we wear. And so really that
are you
is,
saying in this meat that we wear?
This meat
I
suit,
love,
yes.
Yeah, I love that. I've never heard that. The meat suit that we wear. I have to remember that one. That's great. Okay.
Actually, it's funny. I had written that in the book and my editor was so turned off by it. She's like, ooh, this grosses me out. So I changed it in the book to our human suit that we wear. But yeah, I've always called
I
it the
love
meat
it.
Suit.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Funny. Yeah. So since we are joy, we all want joy and love. And the reason for that is that we're craving that homecoming to who we naturally are. We accumulate in this earth journey all these obstructions to recognizing that truth about ourselves. It's not, you know, our soul self isn't something that is talked about, focused on, honored in the particular time and place where we all have found ourselves right now. So we disconnect from it. We have all these obstructions to accessing it. And that's why I say
from
joy
a very young age, eh, Lisa? I mean, that's for me such a wake up call when I, you know, discovered from such a young age how we are conditioned in that and in that meat suit when you talk about it, you know, instead of being the core of who we are conditioned not to be the core, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I use terminology in Joy School that I borrowed from Eckhart Tolle many, many years ago. He doesn't use these terms much anymore, but he said that we all have a horizontal self, which is, of course, the meat suit, our name, our position in society, our job, our beliefs and affiliations and all of this, our horizontal self. And we all have a vertical self.
Yes.
And we're actually much more vertical self than we are horizontal self. The vertical self is the real, true, never changing, eternal.
Beautiful.
Part of us. It's the part that's genderless and ageless and doesn't have all of these restrictions that we volunteered to come here and take on. But yeah, it's about repositioning a little bit, bringing that vertical self a little bit more into the forefront of our life and just escorting the horizontal self a little more into the background. It's still going to always be with us. We don't want to get rid of our horizontal self and be what we came
we
here
need
to
it
do.
A bit in society anyway.
Sure, we need it and we can enjoy it. It can be a lot of fun to have this earth body. So yeah, we just want to like pay attention to that positioning and try to bring that vertical self a little bit more into the foreground because that's where we are naturally joy anyway. Then it's effortless.
Wow. So how did you become from that discovery of joy being our core, etc., to founding that joy school? What is the journey there?
Yeah. Early in my personal development studies, and I did a lot of comparative religion in college and Buddhism and all of those Eastern traditions, I became very much aware of this problem of core unworthiness that most of us suffer from to some degree in some way. And so I was starting my family at this time and having my first child, and I wanted I thought, let me get this, try to nip it in the bud. Let me write a book that can be shared parent to child to help this issue of core unworthiness. So the book was called I Love You Stinky Face. And
oh,
it was
beautiful.
And it was really about I love you no matter what. Like you are valuable and perfect no matter what. And it became very, very popular. And because of the popularity of that book, I was invited to speak at conferences and schools and a lot of speaking. And when you go to speak at public schools, it was often to children as well as adults.
Yes.
They love the topic of creativity. Like, oh, you're an author. Can you come talk about creativity? Yes, I can. So I would get in under the guise of creativity and they would be expecting me to talk about creating our writing and our artwork and our songs and all of these creative things. And I'll talk about that for 5 minutes and then get into the juicy stuff that I wanted to talk about, which is we're always creating our next version of ourselves. We're creating our relationships. We're creating our relationships with the world. And I would teach them all these metaphysical tools. So that was the genesis way back when it started. And then gradually I just named it better, made it more about what it actually was. It became less about creativity. And the word joy just always felt to me like the end result of learning these principles. embodying these principles. It's like, it's a spiritual training, 100%. It's got positive psychology principles woven in, the new science that ties in with the spiritual stuff. So it's got all of that woven in. But the reason to do it is to have joy. Mm. It's so sad to look around and see how this idea that like life sucks and then you die is the normal that people just expect. And it doesn't have to be that way.
Mm, I agree. So I was just asking you, anyone listening now is, of course, interested, because the show is called From Stress to Authentic Success, is interested in how to do that journey. And I believe you are one expert who has a lot of strategies and practice to actually go from the one to the other, meaning from a place of stress and stuckness to that place of joy. Is there any of your favorite strategies that you could share with the person who is feeling stuck now, listening to this show and thinking, yeah, it's all easy to talk about joy, but that's not how I feel? You know, is there any favorite strategy that you have that you could share with us?
Yes, absolutely. I love that your focus is on authenticity. I completely agree. Mm. It's where our joy is. It's this expectation that is not even a real expectation. Often it's just a perception that there's this expectation that we be other than what we naturally are. That's the thief of joy right there. Once we can feel the freedom to be our most authentic selves, that's just where all the joy is. So it helps to find tribe and community where you can be your most authentic self. I feel like I want to say that we shouldn't need it, but we do as human creatures. Tribal creatures. It's built into our nature. That's what my joy school provides. That's how we do most of the healing there, is just by providing this absolutely judgment-free space of attunement where people can step into the fullness of who they are. But yeah, I think that some of the early stages that we do in joy school and in the book are all about becoming the observer of our thoughts, that ticker tape that's always crossing our mind, because our thoughts aren't us. Our thoughts aren't reality. Like, it's really all of our thoughts come into us through this perception, this filter of beliefs that we designed when we were very, very, very young, and they aren't a true representation of what's real and what's possible. So we have to learn to get that distance from our thoughts. And that's a skill. That's a practice, because we humans love our thinking. We like to identify with it and let our thoughts tell us who we are. And the more distance we can get from that with some practice, the more absurd the whole thought thing becomes. And we notice how repetitive and how detrimental to our natural joy.
Yes.
And the more distance we can get, the more we can step into that authentic, the vertical self will rise up into that that we create, and we'll have.
So the consciousness of, and the realization that I always talk about helicopter view and that kind of thing. And, you know, the Wayne Dyer, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. It's that kind of thing that if you are, and I love the word the observer. So thank you for that, because that's what we need. Instead of being in it, just taking ourselves out of it and realizing that actually they're all lies, often. They are just lies about ourselves, aren't they, Lisa?
Yes, they are. I quote a lot of my teachers, and Joe Dispenza says that we have 400 billion bits of information available to us in any given moment. Our little puny human brains have only developed to take in about 50 bits of information in any moment to make our experience of reality. So how is it going to decide which 50 bits? It's going to all come back to that framework that we created when we were very young, that we mostly absorb from our caregivers and our culture and sometimes our religion. But all of that determines what we're going to allow through to make our reality. But we can change, we can start to take control of it.
Beautiful. Can you give us an example of someone that you helped in your school, or a story, just a testimonial of someone who's been from a place of really feeling desperate, maybe not even joy, and getting there?
Sure. Yeah. I've got 50 plus testimonials written out at my website. I'm trying to think of something kind of specific. We did a year long experiment once many years ago with my joy schoolers, where I do a lot of reverse engineering. So we pretended it was around New Year's, and we pretended that it was the following New Year's. And we hadn't seen each other somehow in that whole year. And we were getting together and saying, like, oh my gosh, how was the year for you?
Yes.
We're pretending we're a year out, and we're just describing all these amazing things that were going to happen during this year. And we're describing it with all the feeling and all the emotion.
Mm, beautiful.
And I always have my Joy Schoolers record that into their phones when we do that. And then they have to listen to it over and over in their own voice and their own words and feel those emotions flooding over them again and again. And that 1 year long experiment, I do love to quote, because one of them had been with her guy over 10 years. He had been divorced. He did not want to ever get married again. He had made that clear to her, but she wanted to marry this guy. And she's like, I see myself at my wedding or planning my wedding or in my wedding dress. And that's what she was describing to us, that in that year she had gotten married. So that was one that absolutely to a T, the ring that she described, the dress that she described, all when we met up the following, I mean, we saw each other in between, so we knew this was happening. But when we listened to what we had predicted, every single thing came true for her.
Wow.
One of them struggled with weight her whole entire life, just really, really, really horrible weight problem, had tried every diet, everything out there, medical intervention, nothing ever helped. So she talked about, you know, shopping in the regular size department for this beautiful dress in bright blue, and how great she feels about her body. The next year, when we listened to it and played it, she had completely taken off all the weight.
Wow.
First in her life, she was able to do it. She was shopping exactly the way she saw it described, buying the exact dress that she saw described. And this is several years later now, and she is still that size. So all of
what
us.
What is the cause of that? What shifted her? What made that big shift?
We create everything out there based on our beliefs.
Yes.
It's just, we know this, right? We are vibrational creatures in a sea of vibration. We're sending up vibration and the universe is responding, not to be mean and punish us, but it's just saying, yes, here's the order that you placed. I will honor your order. Here's the
it's
order
all
that
energy.
You placed.
Mm.
It's all energy. Mm. So by feeling it first and declaring it and, you know, as though it's happening and being in that energy and then repeating that and keeping yourself there, you're sending out a different order. The universe is always going to fill your order. It's just about learning how to place a different order with the universe.
Wow. What I also like in your work, what I was reading, is about the fact, and I really love that, because we are in a society, Lisa, where people want the quick fix, where people go for the magic pill. And I was reading about you explaining that it's not fast work. It's a daily practice. And I love that, because everything holistic self-care that I talk about and self-love and self-worth, it's all a daily practice, isn't it? So I so love to explain a little bit about the practice, or that it's not fast work. How can you explain that?
You are the only person on the planet who loves that. Usually,
I know it's the truth, but that's why I stand in it, because that's what we need to tell people. So I just want you to talk about it, because I know that everybody out there who's listening now needs to hear this.
Yeah. And I learned this the hard way, because I used to get so excited about spiritual principles that I was like, okay, if I'm going to be a teacher, I'm going to get all the best bits and I'm going to distill them down to the most effective nuggets. And I'm going to have this, you know, 6-week course where you turn your life around. Weeks, come online with me. We're going to, and it just doesn't work. And I also came to a point in my own spiritual journey where I recognized that I was a glutton for the learning. I was a glutton for the ahas and the little light bulbs that would go off and the zings and the, oh, wow, I get it now. I understand it. And I wasn't taking the time to take what I had learned and apply it to my life. So I was gathering all this beautiful, valuable information and teaching this information and realizing, wait a minute, I didn't really do that this morning. So yes, as frustrating as it is, the book is laid out to be read over the course of a year. All my readers have told me, I read it cover to cover first, and now I'm going back and doing it. And that's totally fine. I do not mind that at all. If you want to get the overview, go for it. That's
yes.
a beautiful way to approach it.
Yes.
But yeah, like, read this. Think about it, journal about it some, absorb it, and then go do it for a week. And then read this one.
It's about integration. Hey, you can't, you need to integrate the principles and the, otherwise it needs to be a practice. It's like yoga. People think they go 3 times a week to a yoga class and that's it. And I say, it's a lifestyle. There's so much that goes with it. And isn't it a little bit the same?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And I just would try to put into the book what we do at Joy School, because that was the format. Is, you know, we meet every week and we go put things in our lives and come back and talk about it and compare notes. So I was trying to superimpose that into the book.
Great. So is there a quote in your book that you really stand by that you want to discuss here? Just one big quote that you live by.
Oh my gosh.
I know there's many. I have many as well. But is there one that you want to share with us? But in the show, From Stress to Authentic Success, that would really be of use to anyone listening now?
I don't have any like verbatim quotes in my mind, but I will say that the underlying piece that I feel is so, so, so important and kind of often misunderstood that I try to weave throughout every chapter is the self-compassion. Healing is the only reason we stay stuck in anything. The only reason we have stress, the only reason we feel anxious or depressed is that we're not giving ourselves compassion to feel whatever natural human emotion is up for us in that moment. We have our emotions sorted into desirable, good spiritual emotions and bad, unattractive spiritual emotions. And we just shove away and push and deny and repress. And that's where all of our lack of joy comes from, is all that gets all that repression and denial of what's absolutely gorgeous and beautiful and human about us without the self-compassion to welcome that emotion and feel it in its fullness. That's where it gets problematic.
I agree. It's the mildness somehow, you know, we are so strict to ourselves so often, you know, so it's the mildness. And isn't that a little bit of feminine energy as well, that we are so in our masculine energy in this world today? I mean, it's changing slowly, but isn't that also a little bit of feminine energy, the receiving, the surrendering, the letting go, the mildness? Isn't that a little bit also?
I understand what you're saying. And I feel that the irony in that is that it's usually the women who are the hardest on themselves.
I know. That's why we are like in a man's. You talk about a meat suit. I talk about women are in a man's suit and we trying to function, you know, we talk so much about feminist things and, but we're not there at all, I feel. So, but that's maybe another subject. But Lisa, if I would ask you, what to you is authentic success? How would you describe that? What is that to you?
To me, success would be moving through this world with grace and ease, comfortable in your own skin,
beautiful.
With an open heart, with your guard down, because we all have our dukes up. We've been taught to have our dukes up. And authentic success is just finding that joy. And because when you find compassion for self, you have compassion for others. That just goes hand in hand. Just being able to be such a master of your attention that you are able to funnel your attention onto all the absolute breathtaking joy and beauty that is always available to every one of us in every moment. Once we can pull our attention away from all those things that we just gotten habitually focused on.
So are you saying that we need to focus more on the miracle and the magic in life?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's there. And we're always creating what we deep down believe. So if we don't believe it's there, we're not going to see it. So you have to believe it's there, first of all. And then I also always say, if you want to see what you deep down subconsciously believe you deserve, look around at your life. And you probably some wonderful things you've created. We've all created a mixed bag, right? And those wonderful things you've created, good on you. That means that you don't believe you deserved those things. That's awesome. And if there's anything in your life that you feel like is not good, that you wish you hadn't created, it's just showing you where you don't have that compassion, where there's an unhealed frequency, an unhealed relationship.
Yes.
With this concept or this category of life or this thing. And all we need to do is just kind of work on those relationships. And then it's just like a relationship with a person. It's about forgiveness of self.
Oh, I agree.
Forgiveness of the situation out here. And
tell us a little bit about forgiveness, because I think that's one of the biggest forces of all energetically.
I think that we, when we think about forgiveness, we think about somebody out there who did something to us. Mm-hmm. That's like the top level that most of us are familiar with. And we've probably all heard that holding resentment, holding a grudge is like taking poison and expecting the other person to die. It's only hurting us. It's not hurting them. But what we fail to recognize is that that's true of everything. You're in a relationship with your body. You're in a relationship with your home, you're with your car, with your job. And we're in relationships with abstract ideas like money or romance, right? Yes. All of this is learned. It's part of that framework that we form when we're super, super young that we go on to create and manifest our whole life from. So the forgiveness work that probably your audience is familiar with, mine certainly is, where we, you know, do what it takes to forgive these people in our lives for us, not for them, not to let anyone off the hook, but for us. We can do the same sorts of forgiveness processes around money. We can forgive, you know, whatever it is that we're struggling with. We can usually look back and see that there's a history of struggle in this particular when you boil it down to its essence, because sometimes it looks different. It wears different clothing at different times, you know, but it's always, when we boil it down to our its essence, we just have an unhealed relationship that we developed somewhere along the way, innocently, unwittingly. It's never about self-judgment, right? Yes, we have to take responsibility that the energy I was sending out created this. Got to take that responsibility.
Yes, for sure.
But we're not blaming ourselves, because it's always just based in some early formed relationship that wasn't real healthy when we took it on, when we absorbed it. And so we can heal those relationships. And heal relationship with an abstract construct is actually pretty convenient, because it's not like your relationship with your brother, where there's two people coming to the table with their own histories and their own filters and perceptions. Your relationship with money is completely on you. Money's not really having a relationship with you.
I know.
So it's really beautiful when we realize that we are in control of that energy. We can do forgiveness work and healing work, but we always want to do the forgiveness work with our part in it too, because that's usually where we're not conscious. We think, oh, I'm just blaming them, but we're usually blaming us too. We're blaming them, us.
Beautiful. So to go back to the joy, give me your definition or your core thing about joy.
Yeah. So joy isn't happiness. Happiness is this perfectly beautiful emotion that we're all here to experience and aspire to. But we wouldn't be happy 24/7. We wouldn't even know we were happy if we were happy 24/7. That's not what we came here to do this human life for. We wouldn't have the contrast. So joy, I believe, can be felt 24/7 as a baseline emotion when we change our relationship to what we consider those unwanted emotions. When we change our relationship to anger or grief or sadness, because in our grief, we can reach a place of depth and poignancy and compassion and understanding for self and others that we wouldn't have ever reached any other way. Grief is just grief means you've opened your heart and loved big. And that's a beautiful thing to celebrate. Anger, we can feel a rightness and a solidification of our boundaries in a very healthy, beautiful way. We can be inspired to make change and do social justice through our anger. So it's about reframing how we approach these other emotions that we're going to have as part of our human journey, so that there's an undercurrent of joy in all of them, because joy is just a rightness and a freedom feeling and a surrender to what's there with compassion.
Can I ask you, because, and that's probably my last question, because time is going too fast, Lisa, we'll have to do this again. Tell me, that's how I feel. I feel joy for me when I think about the energy of gratitude is very similar to me than the energy of joy. Is that correct?
Yeah. We do a lot with gratitude, of course. I mean, gratitude, if you look at the ancient traditions, it underlies every spiritual tradition. Yeah. We talk about that. And gratitude is just a focus of attention, once again. I mean, it's just like where we're focusing our attention is going to either bring us feelings of gratitude or feelings of struggle against and resistance. So absolutely, gratitude is the secret sauce.
Oh, I love it. Can you tell a little last sentence, quote, statement that you want to share with anyone listening? a little last, maybe a statement that you want to end with, or something, or an advice, or a tip, or something personal?
Sure. I would say, bring to mind right now this menu of what you've created, right? Because we've all created a mixed bag. There's going to be this best thing that's super easy for you to feel gratitude for. There's going to be this thing that when I say, what's your top thing that you love about your life right now, it comes to mind. It might be a longstanding thing. It might have happened yesterday. It's going to come to mind. And then understanding that we create it all, what is that thing over here? What is that thorn in your side, that worst thing that you've created? And just, you created it all, possibly for good reason. Some of these things we're really is creating for our learning and our evolving.
Yeah,
and some of these things are to protect us.
Not
all of them.
Yeah, of course. Mm.
And then think about, in a typical day, which of these things do you feed the most energy, attention into? Which one takes up more of your headspace? Which one do you think about or focus on? It's the crappy one, right? Mm. This is like human nature. This is a genetic error that we all
do it
all the time. So take conscious control of that. Every morning when you wake up, give all your gratitude over here to this beautiful thing that you love. Think about it when you go to sleep at night. Think about it if you feel your energy dipping. Hey, wait, I created this beautiful relationship, or this home that I love, or this job that I feel so fulfilled. Whatever the one thing is, focus on it more. Give it and shower it with your appreciation and energy. And this thing over here, if you have a little less attention to it, you're going to drain it of the power that you've been giving it and feeding it. Nothing can survive in our life without our attention to feed it.
Beautiful. You are a very special soul, Lisa McCourt. Thank you so much for this conversation. We'll have to do this again. Thank you so much. And good luck with the book, you know, called Free Your Joy. I mean, it's 12 Keys to Sustainable Happiness. So I am sure that anyone can, you know, use this book. So we will all have to buy one and see what happens. Thank you. And maybe see each other in a year's time and see what it has done. Okay.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Danielle.
Bye, Lisa. Thank you so much for this conversation. And I'll be back to the audience just now after this little break. Thank you.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better, and that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
The station that makes you feel good.
Whoa, I so love this energy around this topic. Did you enjoy it? Did you feel that energy of joy that Lisa is actually radiating? As I was saying in the intro, I really felt it. And so I really loved the way she was talking about the fact that we think we need to check all the boxes first before we can get joy. And it's backwards. It's what I call authentic success. It's from the inside out. It's first the internal state, the frequency, the vibrancy that you send out that is going to give you that joy in your life. Pleasing is not the way to do it. It's all about authenticity. And Lisa, as well as I have, we both experienced in our lives how pleasing others and living for the outside world really didn't give us the satisfaction, the fulfillment, and the joy that we were looking for. So if you see how she looks at stress, for her, stress is the result of wanting control, you know, and I couldn't agree more that once we start to surrender, to surrender to what is, then joy follows. Because in our soul, we are all joy, love, and bliss. And so, wasn't it really, I found it very humoristic that she was talking about the meat suit that we are wearing or the human suit that we are wearing. We all want to experience that joy, and we don't realize that we already are it. If we come home, if we go into our soul, that's when we realize that we already live it. And so it's already that, the same thing with that core of worthiness that she was talking about. No matter what, you are worthy. It is important that you realize that, and that it's all about that authenticity, that feeling of freedom and joy. If we can become the observer of our thoughts, because we live with a filter of our beliefs, and if we can become the observer of our thoughts, of the lies that are so detrimental to our joy, then we can create our own framework, our own reality. Isn't that what we all want? To create our own reality. And Lisa McCourt talks a lot about self-compassion that is needed. It's one of the basic keys, I think, that is needed to reverse stress and experience joy. And you and I, we both need more of self-compassion, more of forgiveness to ourselves, to others, but mostly to ourselves. So to heal the relationship with ourselves, to heal our past, to heal our mistakes, our failures, all that, we need more self-compassion and forgiveness. And so if we heal that relationship and energy, Lisa was telling us that then we can live in joy on a consistent basis. And it was so beautiful that she was, like me, talking about daily practice. I really loved it, because when I hear her say the exercise, and maybe you can go and listen again about the reverse engineering, the exercise, maybe you can do this. We are at the end of 2023, and maybe you can imagine yourself at the end of 2024 and go and find out, start recording yourself. What are you doing? Who are you? What have you accomplished? What about your money relationship, your love relationship with your children, your partner, your work relationship with your clients, with whoever? So it's all created by ourselves, by our vibration. So the more we declare it, the more we repeat it, that's when we really create it. So I really loved that idea. And so, of course, gratitude, already being grateful for what is and what will be, is the secret source to a lot of authentic success. And so authentic success to Lisa, and I'm going to end with that for this week. Authentic success to Lisa McCourt is grace and ease, comfortable in your own skin, finding the joy, master your attention, the magic, seeing the magic, believing it and seeing it. And I'm going to leave you with that. Isn't that beautiful for the next week to come, the festivities that are coming? Isn't that a beautiful thing that we can maybe start being observer and creating our own life? I'm going to leave you with this. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye for now.
From Stress to Authentic Success was presented by Danielle Sachs. Join Danielle at the same time next week here on UK Health Radio. And meanwhile, for more on how to thrive in business and everyday life by being true to yourself, go to daniellesachs.com.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better, and that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.